Good to see everyone. We're glad that Katie's back. She made a trip out west and went all the way through Oakland. And I was talking to someone. They were talking about landing out in California and how difficult it is. And I was saying that's one place that I really wouldn't want to land. And yet I've landed some places I didn't really want to land either. So. Should be number 924. 924 instead of 923. For the song of encouragement, following lesson. I think I'm turned to the right one with the marker there, so I think it's on the same page, so we're good. Been thinking about this for some time, about how we don't seem to have the proper fear. It's one of those things where I think we look at life and there are so many things that people are fearful of, but they're not fearful of the right one. We're going to be taking some of this, starting this morning, from Ezekiel. And I would urge you to turn there because I'm going to do some talking about it from Ezekiel 1. But each one of us, every one of us, have some fears in our life. I was just talking about landing in certain airports, and we have that little feeling in our stomach as we're coming down, thinking, okay, I hope this landing goes well. I hope the takeoff goes well. I hope all this works real well. And maybe we've even had fear to the point of feeling completely helpless. Right? We just can't do a thing about it. Not even knowing how to react. And how many people have had that dream, and you wake up trying to figure out, was this real or was it not? It happens to us. I don't know, I can't answer all the reasons why, but it does. Sometimes it's so great that we lose control of our bodily functions. We might start sweating. We might just start shaking real bad. We might start crying or screaming or running or fear to the point of even fainting. And maybe you've experienced, and I'm sure you have, everybody in this audience of any age has experienced this one time or another in their life. Because it is one of those things that we deal with life. People are fearful to do certain things. People are fearful to go out of their home. We talk about this all the time. People are fearful to walk down the street. But now I want to talk about fear as it is related to this subject in the Bible. Not so much how we deal with it. And so we're going to start with Ezekiel 1. A little background real quick. Let me explain why this is happening. Ezekiel has gone through a horrendous time in his life. He has seen things that I have never seen in my life. He's observed things that I have never observed in my life. This man had a right to totally be fearful. He has watched the greatest army in the world at that time march through and completely annihilate and destroy the last of the country that he lives in. He has seen them take Daniel into captivity. Now, he doesn't necessarily know that. We'll know that he'll talk about Daniel. I don't know what their relationship was. But he's a contemporary of Daniel's. He has watched them literally just destroy his country, even to the point of destroying the capital city and leaving nothing behind. And now he's been taken into captivity. He's in captivity, and he talks about this, and he talks about being with those captives that have been taken. And I have thought about this a lot. All that he's observed and seen and knows, and all the fear that he could have easily have felt, and maybe did, I don't know. In watching all of this take place, I think most of us, if we watched an army march through our country and remove us from this country and put us somewhere else where we were in complete control of them, I would say most of us would have to argue the fact that yes, we might be a little bit fearful. But let's look at what's about to happen to him. In verse 4 he says, "Then I looked, and behold, a whirlwind was coming out of the north. A great cloud with raging fire engulfing itself. Brightness was all around it and radiating out of its midst like the color of amber out of the midst of the fire. Now think about this for a moment. This is like looking at a tornado coming at you, this big whirlwind. That's not a comfortable thing to think about. This is as if it's real to him. And he's watching it, but it isn't just any whirlwind. It's a great cloud with a raging fire engulfing itself. It's bad enough to watch a tornado coming at you, but to watch that coming at you and seeing the fire, and I've seen the pictures of this, haven't you, where it's taking down power lines and you can see the fire, as it were, in that. Brightness all around it, radiating out of its midst like the color of amber, he said. I mean, he's watching this closely. It's coming straight at him out of the north. This is not that picture. This is the best I could come up with, and this is actually a volcano erupting in which it creates lightning. This is a natural phenomenon. It's a scary thing to see, and I've observed this several times. I like watching some things on the Weather Channel they show because I just like the awesomeness of God. He's observing this coming at him in a whirlwind straight at him from the north. I got to tell you something. I'm not Roger Starnes. I'm not running toward some no junior, not senior. Senior's smarter than that. Rushing toward a tornado once. I want to see that. No, I'll watch it on the news or watch the... I'm not that interested in it. I'll be quite frank with you. I don't care. I don't want to be standing there. Now, I've done some dumb things in my life, and I've actually stood there and watched some things coming, but, you know, it's one of those where you just see that. That's not all he sees, though. Can you imagine in the midst of this also from within it? I mean, you've seen what I put up there, and that's not even what it was. It was greater than that coming at him, and now he sees the likeness of four living creatures. And this was their appearance. They had the likeness of a man. Each one had four faces. Each one had four wings. Their legs were straight, and the calves of their feet were like the soles of calves' feet. They sparkled like the color of burnished bronze. They had the hands of a man under their wings on their four sides, and each of the four had faces and wings. Their wings touched one another. The creatures did not turn when they went, but each one went straight forward. As for the likeness of their faces, each had the face of a man. Each of the four had the face of a lion on the right side. Each of the four had the face of an ox on the left side. And each of the four had the face of an eagle. Thus were their faces. Their wings were stretched upward. Two wings of each one touched one another, and two covered their bodies. Each one went straight forward. They went wherever the Spirit wanted to go, and they did not turn when they went. As for the likeness of the living creatures, their appearance was like a burning coals of fire and like the appearance of torches. Fire was going back and forth among the living creatures. The fire was bright, and out of the fire went lightning. And the living creatures ran back and forth in appearance like a flash of lightning. Can't imagine that. How would you even see that in that whirlwind? How would you visually picture that? That not just looking at a whirlwind with all the fire going on, but he's now looking at four living creatures, he says. Four of them. They don't have to turn. They can look every which way they want. They have the appearance of four things on this earth in their faces. He even observes that their legs are like legs of a calf. He said they sparkle like the color of burnished bronze. How's that possible in the midst of all that fire and lightning and that whirlwind? Would you not start to get a little bit concerned, a little bit afraid? I've never seen anything like that in my life. I can't even visualize anything like that. I don't remember even dreaming about anything like that in my life. But this is real to him, coming straight at him. And yet he can see all this clearly. Wouldn't you be a little bit fearful at this point? Wouldn't you start thinking, I'm in trouble. I'm in trouble. The physical element of it, the whirlwind and the fire, this now these creatures coming at you, that you've never seen anything like it before in your life. Hands like a man, it said on the wings. Two of the wings touching, two of the wings spread upward. This is quite the sight. And the wings, he said, two of them touched each other. Had four faces, man, lion, ox, eagle. Can't imagine. Appearance like burning coals of fire. How could they have had appearance like a burning coal of fire within the midst of the fire? But they did. Fire was bright, it said. And out of the fire went lightning as well. I don't know why I put "was bright" there twice, but it just happened. This is not even a good picture of it. This is a rendition that someone had of this or this. We don't even know. This doesn't even come close, does it, to what I just read? Not even close. But would that not scare you? Would that not put fear into you? Wouldn't you be so fearful you'd be wanting to run from this? That's not all. Now I looked at the living creatures. As I looked at them, a whole of wheel was on the earth beside each living creature with its four faces. The appearance of the wheels and their works were like the color of beryl, and all four had the same likeness. The appearance of their works were, as it were, a wheel in the middle of a wheel. When they went toward any one of the four directions. They did not turn aside when they went. How's that possible? That's not possible in our world. This doesn't happen. None of these things happen in our world. Not even close to being possible. That does not match any description of any scientific thing that could happen on this earth. The physics of this aren't possible. Just not possible. As for the realms, they were so high, they were awesome. And their realms were full of eyes all around the four of them. When the living creatures went, the wheels went beside them. And when the living creatures were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up. Wherever the Spirit wanted to go, they went. Because there the Spirit went. And the wheels were lifted together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures were in the wheels. How does he know this? This is amazing to me. I would be so terrified. I'll admit it. I would be terrified to observe this. When they went, those went. When they stood, these stood. And when those were lifted up from the earth, the wheels were lifted up together with them, for the Spirit of the living creatures were in the wheels. Again, not anything that we can understand in this life. A wheel within a wheel, spinning in different directions, color of beryl, went in all four directions, rims full of eyes. It's giving us a vision here. Ezekiel is seeing something that God has created. That is beyond. He's put it in physical terms, beyond anything that we can understand in the spiritual realm. The Spirit of the living creations or creatures were in the wheels. Again, don't know if that's what it looked like. Not even close. Have no idea what it looked like. Another artist's rendition of it. Don't know. But we know that wherever these creatures went, the wheels were there with them because it was necessary. They were a part of the creatures. Again, that doesn't compute with me at all. But to see that in that whirlwind with the fire and the lightning and all that's going on. Then he talks about the firmament. The likeness of the firmament, that is the space above the heads of the living creatures, was like the color of an awesome crystal stretched out over their heads. And under the firmament, their wings spread out straight one toward another. Each one had two which covered one side, and each one had two which covered the other side of the body. When they went, they heard the noise of their wings, like the noise of many waters, like the voice of the Almighty. A tumult like the voice of an army, a noise of an army. And when they stood still, they let down their wings. He said the noise was so loud. In addition to this visual, it would be even hard to hear. It's like hearing thunder around you constantly. The noise is so great. Wouldn't you be a little bit nervous at this point? A little bit scared? A little bit terrified? A voice came down from the firmament that was over their heads. Whenever they stood, they let down their wings. The noise, it says, was like the voice of the Almighty. How would Ezekiel even know that? And then this voice came down from the firmament, and the creatures stopped their wings. And what we find in all of this is this. As amazing as this is, Ezekiel stood there. And to the best of our knowledge, not one moment did he let this terrify him in any way. The Bible doesn't say he ran. He just stood there and looked. To this point, he's just standing there watching this vision. Because nothing to this point has impressed him like what's about to happen. Nothing to this point with this awesome sight has affected him about like what's about to happen. This is then what he saw. And above the firmament over their heads was the likeness of a throne. In appearance like a sapphire stone, on the likeness of a throne was a likeness with appearance of a man high above it. Also from the appearance of his waist and upward I saw as it were the color of amber, with the appearance of fire all around within it. And from the appearance of his waist and downward I saw as it were the appearance of fire with brightness all around, like the appearance of a rainbow in the cloud on a rainy day. So was the appearance of the brightness all around it. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. See, now he's seen something totally different. Now, in this firmament, he's seen this likeness of a throne. Likeness. Likeness of the throne with a likeness. Again, have you noticed how many times it says these words? With the appearance of a man high above it. Now, you think of what he's just seen. This is just a throne. This isn't all that wonder that he's observed. This is just a throne. Just a throne, right? Upward and downward of his waist, the appearance of fire with brightness all around. Like the appearance of a rainbow in a cloud on a rainy day. That seems so peaceful, doesn't it? Out of all this scene we've seen, all of a sudden now you understand who's being discussed here. This was the appearance of the likeness of the glory of the Lord. How would you react to that then? I'll tell you how you react to that. So when I saw it, I fell on my face and I heard a voice of one speaking. You see, all of that other stuff, as awesome and as great as it was, all those other created things of God are something. And we're terrified of them. But you don't fall down before them. You don't fall down before other created beings. You don't fall down before nature. Romans 1 teaches us all those things are not to be worshipped. But when the Almighty is there, you fall down. And he didn't say he just fell down. He fell down on his face. That's the idea of getting as far down to the earth as you can, showing the great respect and fear and awe you have of God. And let me tell you how this continues. He's given a mission. In chapter 2, Son of Man, stand on your feet, and I will speak to you. Who's doing this speaking? Well, it isn't one of those other created beings. This is God. Big difference. The Spirit entered me when He spoke to me and set me on my feet. I've got the impression, don't you? Ezekiel couldn't stand on his own. He reached a point where he had no strength in his legs. He had no ability to get up. He was in awe of God Almighty. And I'll tell you something, folks. We don't have that today like we should, I'm afraid. I would argue that most of this world has no awe of God anymore. The part of this they would fall down in front of would be the things we mentioned first. Wrong. The being you fall down in front of is God. And when He says, you get on your feet, He helped him get on his feet. The Spirit entered him and lifted him up so that he could get on his feet. And I heard Him who spoke to me, Son of Man, He said, I am sending you to a rebellious people. This comes from God Almighty. In a time when Ezekiel has seen everything that could possibly terrify you, and the only thing that he's willing to show reverence to is God. And when God says to him, I've got a mission for you. While you're in captivity, I want you to teach these people. I want you to get them ready. I want to get them ready so when I basically, he doesn't say it here, but when I send them out of here, they'll be ready to go. But he said, there's a problem, Ezekiel. Everybody doesn't have your respect and awe of me. There's a problem, Ezekiel, because they're a rebellious people. They're not going to fear me like they should. They're not going to do what I say. They're stubborn. They're like little stubborn children. You ever seen a stubborn child? If you'd watched me growing up, you'd have seen one. My dad did everything in the world to get it out of me, and I hope God succeeded in getting it completely out of me. Because I tell you what, we're not talking about some man. The only way that Ezekiel could visualize him, was some figure that Ezekiel could understand. But he understood it was not a man. It was a likeness to show him. And he said, I'll tell you what, it doesn't matter whether they listen to you or not. You just let them know that there's been a prophet among you, them, from me. And he said, don't be afraid of them. Don't be afraid of them. He said, don't be afraid of their words. Do you think Ezekiel was? I don't think so. I think if you've seen this vision of God Almighty, and you have fallen down before Him, you're not going to really care what people do to you anymore, right? Right? I don't know. I'm going to say Ezekiel didn't, because I see him going out and doing this. But I tell you what, it was a hard job. If you read this about Ezekiel, and you've ever read about Ezekiel, it'll make you appreciate it. If you read about him, then you'll understand the New Testament. Apostles and what they went through. Because we're going to switch to the New Testament in the second part of this. So he says, do not be rebellious like them. He said, I want you to open your mouth and I want you to eat something. I want you to eat something. And he spread this scroll out for him to eat. And he does. He takes it and he eats it. And it says, on it were lamentations and mourning and woe. How many of us would love to spread that message? How many of us would say, you know what, I can hardly wait to get out there and tell the people, you're going to have a tough time. How many of us would tell them, if you don't straighten up your life, you're going to lose it eternally? A message we'd really like to teach, isn't it? Just a message we love to present to other people. What we find is that in verse 3 of the next chapter, chapter 3, it tasted like honey to him. It was palatable. When you first pick it up, aren't you excited about the Word of God? Don't you want to tell other people about our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Don't you want to tell them about God? Aren't you excited? Doesn't it taste like honey? And then chapter verse 14 was like bitterness. What a contrasting thing, isn't it? Why is it like bitterness? Why did he go with bitterness of spirit and bitterness in the heat of his spirit? Ezekiel's a wonderful man. Why would you possibly have that attitude? You don't. You just realize something all of a sudden, don't you? That when the flood came, which we'll talk about later, all but 8 people died. You think that made Noah feel good? It's sweet in knowing you can have salvation. But it's bitterness in knowing that most people reject the Word of God, including our loved ones, including all the people He's going to talk to for the most part. People who've been taken into captivity, people who've seen God's work, are still going to turn away from God. Sad. But He's given us warning. He said, I'm sending you, Ezekiel, as a watchman. What a lesson for us today, which we're going to get into in the second lesson. I could not pick out, I don't think anywhere in the Bible, a better way to lead into this lesson, at least from my viewpoint. Because when we get to the New Testament, we start understanding some of these things, we start understanding that we too have been eaten, we've ingested this scroll. We've ingested it. It's sweet to us. It's beautiful. But when we realize about God, then it's bitter, isn't it? When we realize that everybody is not going to obey it like we're trying to. But we are watchmen for God. Although Ezekiel could have been fearful of the whirlwind with the fire, maybe the four living creatures, the four wheels, he shows real reverence of fear when he sees the likeness of the throne and the likeness of God. That's when he really shows his reverence and his fear. He falls to his feet, not thinking about it. It's an automatic. Before God, oh, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. It's not a matter of whether you want to or not at that point. So wouldn't it be better to fall on our face now before God? Wouldn't it be better not to be terrified of the things we're terrified of? He realizes that there's only one being to fear. And that's God. In fear, then, he goes to Israel, who's in captivity, and urges them to repent. And we see him spending his days doing that. Knowing, therefore, the terror of the Lord, we persuade men, as Paul would put it. He is their watchman and will suffer the consequences if he fails to go to teach them. And God says, regardless of how they receive the message. We too must have that deep respect or fear for God. We have to obey His every word or suffer the consequences. I wish people could understand this. I wish people would recognize the fact, and most of all, I wish Abe Martin could fully understand this. I wish I could fully grasp it. The question is, have you obeyed Him? If you haven't, wouldn't today be a good day to start? Don't be stubborn. He's given His will to you. It's not mine. When I teach things, I give you the where it comes from God's Word. If you think I've taught something wrong, tell me. If you think I've taught what's right and you need to be obedient to it, please obey it. Not for me, but for God. If you have any needs, we'd be glad to assist you. Would you please stand?